Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast here from the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. We are grateful and glad that you're tuned in and listening to us today over WSOF FM radio in Madisonville and or over WAJJ FM radio in McKenzie, Tennessee. We're glad you're listening, and we're grateful for the Lord's blessings upon us another day. Beautiful, beautiful day the Lord's given us today. We're grateful for that. I'll tell you, as old saying, spring has sprung. We're enjoying the beautiful weather, enjoy seeing the leaves starting to bloom out, blossom out, flowers blooming, and all the things there. That is a real blessing, and I'm glad God lets us see this time of year. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of year, and we're grateful and thankful. This is Tuesday, March the 31st, last day of March 2015, and we're headed into marathon time here coming up. We're going to start marathon on Thursday, and which will be Thursday, April the 2nd, through Saturday, April the 4th, and hope you'll tune in and be a part of it, be a help to us. We got a phone call today to the station, a lady that got some help in her heart and help in her spirit from a song that she heard. We're going through a hard time. My understanding is a lady that doesn't live here. She's passing through the area and going through a hard time, heard a song that just spoke to her. And what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing that God would use this radio station in such a way. And that's real. We're real grateful for that. That's encouraging. Amen. This is a work of faith. I said to somebody the other day that when you're preaching a radio broadcast, you're just preaching to a microphone unless you've got faith. If you've got faith, there's people out there. Amen. And there are people out there that listen, and more than we know. But I'm glad that it's not my power, it's not my words that I've got to depend upon, but I'm dependent upon the power of God, the work of God, to do that work. We're just trying to sow seed and trying to make sure it's good seed that we're sowing. Amen. And then pray God, let it fall in some good ground, good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in mentioning about the blessing radio stations been to others, it's probably been a blessing to some of you. And I hope you'll help us and stand with us in these days to come. Again, I'll say we don't do the marathon because we just enjoy doing marathon, although it's an exciting time. It's a wonderful time. And I do enjoy that part of it. But we don't do it for that. We don't do it just because we want to raise money. We do it because there's a need. And I could tell you stories, and I know others that know about it could tell you stories down through the years, how that they've gone beyond what they had, and God just blessed and let the meal barrel not run out. And that's what's happened here. And then just this past week, we were in a strait and had to hold some things back. And so now we've had to order some things, some parts for the transmitters and things. As I said, I'm not going to go into details here on my broadcast, but just there's just expenses that we've had to expend out, needs of things that we've got to do yet. And so if you can stand with us, I'd appreciate that. Pray for us. That's what we need more than anything. If you'll do what you can do and then pray that God move on somebody else to do what they can do, and we can see the need met. Amen. And God gets the glory for it all. Amen. And amen. Well, tomorrow night is Wednesday night. If you don't have a place that you would normally be to go and worship, I'm talking about a place where they read out of the King James Bible, preach out of the King James Bible, preach the truth from the Word of God, and stand for the truth and live right, I'd encourage you to come be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. We'd love to have you come and be with us. I mentioned also about the marathon going Thursday through Saturday. On Friday night, Lord willing, Brother Hanley Milby is going to be with us. We've got him scheduled to be with us at 7 o'clock and preaching. I'm excited about it. Brother Milby is experiencing some health problems. He was in a meeting last week in Georgia. No, in Tennessee, maybe. I believe that's right. And got sick in that meeting and was not able to complete the meeting. Had to come home early. And he's sick right now. I'd like for you to pray for him. He's on medication, been to the doctors, and all the things like that. Brother Milby, he has asthma. And that's kicked in, and he's got some problems there. So if you could pray for him, if you would, I'd appreciate that. I'd love for him to be able to be here. We're going to have a meeting Friday night at 7 o'clock. Lord willing, Brother Hanley Midley will be preaching. If you can come and worship with us, and if not, if you can at least tune in and worship with us here at the Island Florida Baptist Church and over the airwaves of WSOF and WAJJ, hope and pray it'll be a real blessing unto you. All right, well, we're going to go right to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to give you our scripture and get a song and then get right into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace, mercy, and truth that came to me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you showed me my sin. You showed me myself. You showed me the sacrifice for my sin. You showed me the Savior hanging on the cross, bleeding, dying, that I could be saved. And Father, I want to thank you that you brought me to that place of faith and repentance. And I called on the Lord and was saved by your grace. I thank you and praise you for it. I thank you, Father, for the privilege to grow up in a Christian home, the privilege to grow up in the area of the South that we had Baptist churches on every hand, dotting the corners, and most of them were preaching the truth. And Father, I want to thank you that you allowed me to hear the truth, not only of salvation, but the truth about separation, the truth about sanctification, the truth about being spirit-filled, the truth about living a godly life. I want to thank you, Lord, for that. I want to thank you for giving me a godly wife, for giving me four godly children. Lord, I want to thank you for your blessings in my life. I pray you'd meet the needs now. There's numerous needs you know about. I pray you'd meet them. I do pray for the Wilson family, especially, Lord. You'd strengthen, bless, and help them. And Father, I pray meet the needs that's there. And Lord, I pray that you just have your way and get the glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you'd like to be turning in your Bible to the book of Jude, verses number 3 and 4 is where we'll start our text reading. Jude, of course, there's only one chapter in the little book of Jude, verses 3 and 4 and 8. And then I'll be reading a verse from 2 Peter, chapter 2, as well. And then other verses we'll be bringing in and bring the message in a moment. Now, right before we have the message, here's a song by our family that I hope might be a blessing. Matter of fact, yesterday someone sent in a text and requested a song. Well, they said it. They said a song, any song by Pastor Shepherd. And I played one that I did solo years ago here, was a cappella, and I did it, played that yesterday. I'm going to play another song here today that might be more along the lines of what they were actually looking for. This is my whole family singing, myself, my wife included, and it's a good song, and it's called the Sandy Creek Revival. And it's talking about the revival that God moved in, started in North Carolina. Amen. First independent Baptist church or separate Baptist church in North Carolina was birthed in that revival called Sandy Creek Baptist Church. Amen. And God swept a revival over because of that, over the land. And I'm grateful and thankful. Churches dotting our country from the East Coast to the West Coast because of that revival. And I thank God for it. Here's the song I hope be a blessing. Sandy Creek Revival by the Shepherd Family. Amen. Amen. I hope that song was a blessing to your heart. I'm glad God can still send revival. God has sent revival down through the ages, and he can still do it. He's the same God today that he's ever been, that he's always been, and I'm glad he can still do it. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, praise God, and I'm glad he can still get the job done. He can still send revival if God's people would only turn to him. Amen. I believe he'd send revival. Well, I'm preaching from Jude chapter number 1, of course, verse number 3 and 4. Let me read the scripture and then get into my message. The Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Now here he's getting ready to describe these men. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 10 described these same men. He said, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." So we see here the Bible says these men hate government. They despise dominion. They despise government. They hate authority. That's the thing. Now, the reason I'm preaching about these men I'm talking about are men that throughout the ages have withstood authority. They've been rebellious in authority. And they do not like the authorized King James Bible. They do not like the Word of God to be an authority in their life. And they rail against that and refuse to allow that authority in their life. And so what many of them do is they try to downgrade the Bible or destroy the Bible. They'll make fun. They'll poke holes in the Bible. They say, well, you know, this is a better translation, or this could have been said better this way. Or they'll say things such as, well, you know, that's not exactly what was meant. That's what men in those days believed, but times have changed, and all kinds of things such as that. I heard recently where that one man had been on a nationally broadcast show, television show, and was trying to support what's known as gay marriage. The Bible calls them sodomites, sodomite marriage. And he was saying that we don't need to be paying attention. Our arguments cannot come, here's his phrase, from 2,000-year-old letters. I'm telling you, I'm glad I've got a Bible that is the Word of God. It's not the Word of some denomination. It's not the Word of some man. Amen. Especially, it's not the Word of some reprobate, probably. Amen. It's the words of God, and I'm glad that is so. It is the Word of God. Now, but they'll mock at the Bible, and then they'll mock at you. If you have a Bible, a belief, you believe in the King James Bible, they'll mock at the King James Bible, and then they'll try to destroy the King James character himself, then saying that how could you use a Bible that was translated by King James? Now, let me just say again, King James did not translate the King James Bible. He did not call it the King James Bible. King James was just a king on the throne that passed a law, allowed the gathering in of this translation committee. Now, I'll agree, he handpicked many on that committee. But he allowed that committee to be formed. He allowed that committee to go through the process. He even paid some of those men, amen, and he sponsored them that they could be able to do that work. And then when the work was completed, he approved of it being published, printed, and promoted to the people. And it was called the Authorized Version of the Bible, amen, the Authorized Version. Later, it was picked up and called the King James Version because of the love of the people for that version and for that king, and they put the two together. Now, I've talked about how they'll try to destroy the Bible by destroying the character of King James. I have, in the past, have mentioned to you different groups that have made comments saying, for example, that King James was a very wicked man, that King James was a sodomite, was a pervert, was a some kind of a terrible sinner, and yet not one person ever accused him of that in his lifetime. Not one. Not one recording, at least not ever recorded, that anybody accused him of being a homosexual, being a sodomite. Not one written and preserved record of any of that. Amen. That statement was never made until 25 years after the death of King James, which would be after the death of many of the people that knew King James. Amen. But I mentioned to you yesterday, and I ran out of time, in the thought of giving you some contemporary references to the moral character of King James. And I'm not going to read these again because I don't have the time to do that today, and it'd just be a repeat. But I do want to just touch on them and mention to you that in 1602, Sir Henry Wotton, W-O-T-T-O-N, just like cotton but with a W, Sir Henry Wotton wrote of King James and declared that King James was a godly man, that he had a chaste life, that he had preserved it without stain up to the present time. He said that was in 1602. And he mentioned that that was contrary to his ancestors. Many of the kings and the queens were wicked, were ungodly men and women. Amen. They were very licentious and lived lascivious lifestyles. And yet King James was a chaste man, according to this contemporary history writer. Also, Sir Edward Coke, he was a famous English jurist. In other words, he was a judge. He was a contemporary of King James. He was often a political opponent of King James. Not that they were running for the king, they didn't have that, but the offices and the standards of the offices, they stood in opposite directions sometimes. And yet, historian Jasper Ridley called Sir Edward, he called him the leader of the lawyers' opposition to the king. And yet, in his writings, Sir Edward Coke, Sir Edward Coke railed against the detestable and abominable sin, that's what he called it, of sodomy. He called it buggery. And said it was against the Creator and against nature. Well, of course, the Bible says that as well. But he was no friend of homosexuality, and he was no political ally of the king. And yet, in reference to the personal character of the king, he wrote and said that King James was known for his sincerity and his justice, that he was one of the most renowned kings in all the Christian world. That's what Sir Edward Coke said about it. So we've got two witnesses, Henry Wotton and Edward Coke. Number three, our third witness is Sir Arthur Wilson. Sir Arthur Wilson was a historian in the times of James, and he wrote the Dictionary of National Biography. And in that, he claimed that James did live a pure life. His life was pure and a Christian life. Then he references the Presbyterian clergy. Those were the men that were, if you remember from the biography of King James, that King James' mother was Mary, Queen of Scots. His father died in an explosion just before he was born. His mother abdicated the throne, left the throne, and left her son when he was 1 year old. He was raised by Protestant teachers, Presbyterian clergy, taught by them, and his mother never saw him again. And these Presbyterian clergy, according to the history, they never came into conflict with King James. In other words, by the way, they would have if he'd have been a homosexual, if he'd have been a sodomite. Those Presbyterian clergy would have railed against his wickedness and ungodliness, but they didn't. So there's four witnesses already. Here's the fifth witness, Bishop Godfrey Goodman. Lived during the time of James, and he said this in a quote. He said, "The king himself was a very chaste man." Now, this, again, not from a friend of King James, but rather one that opposed King James and was denied opportunities of advancement by King James because James suspected him of being a friend of Roman Catholicism. And Bishop Goodman yet had to admit that King James was himself a very chaste man. Amen and amen. Well, let me give you the sixth witness, Dr. Miles Smith. He was on the King James Translators Committee. He was chosen by the committee to write the preface to the King James Bible. And he talked about King James's honor. He talked about King James's dignity. And he talked about King James being the one that God put on the throne and that he was a gift of God to the people of England. Amen. I don't think he'd have been saying that if King James had been the wicked man that others say he was. Let me give you my seventh witness. There's in that preface to the King James Bible written by the Protestants, the Puritans, here's what it said. It said, "Maintaining the truth of Christ and propagating it far and near is that which has so bound and firmly knit the hearts of all your majesty's loyal and religious people unto you, and that your very name is precious to them. Their eye doth behold you with comfort, and they bless you in their hearts as that sanctified person who under God is the immediate author of their true happiness." Again, these Puritans praised King James for his godliness and for him being the one that God put on the throne. Now, I remind you, those Puritans were not afraid of the king. They railed against his mother, who was a wicked monarch. They railed against her. And they railed against his son, Charles, when he got on the throne because of his ungodliness and wickedness. They thundered against his perceived immoralities. Amen. And yet they had nothing but praise for King James. Amen. And I could read you a historian. I could talk about modern historians. And when I say modern, in the 1800s, historians that wrote about how that King James was a godly man. And they never said anything about his supposed homosexuality. You know why? Because they did not believe it. It's not a part of the historical record. Amen. It's only a part of the slander and a part of the rumor that has been furthered by those that are too lazy to study history themselves. In 1891, F.A. Enderwick wrote a book entitled Sidelights to the Stewards. He wrote it about King James. Here's what he said. He said, "I think it only justice to say that much of the scurrilous abuse to which he has been subjected appears to be without warrant." Amen. And that he was personally a man of good moral character, a quality which he was probably much indebted to the strict and careful training he received from his Presbyterian tutors. Historian Robert Chambers in 1830 published two volumes on the life of King James. Chambers called King James greatly loved and greeted and very much beloved of his people. He calls him, quote, a monarch whose character was good. He also says that the conduct was everything that could be expected of a good Christian. Historian Samuel Rawson Gardner wrote of King James, his own life was virtuous and upright. Now I'm closing with these thoughts. I'm almost out of time. Since the Bible requires us not to receive, to consider, or to hear an accusation against an elder or a leader without at least two or three witnesses, we must reject these accusations against King James, for there is not even one witness to come forward. And even if someone wished to believe those awful charges, they would have the responsibility of producing witnesses, not gossip, not hearsay, not written innuendo, but eyewitnesses, according to the Scripture, which would testify of those things, and they have not. But for people to reject the commands of Scripture and then charge anyone with such awful charges or repeat such charges on absolutely no grounds except their contempt for the man and his work, it says more about their character or lack of character than it does his. You see, the Bible has much to say about slander, about spreading lies, about speaking enviously, about false accusers. And we've looked over about a dozen of these probably already. But let me just remind you a couple. Look in John chapter 8, verse 17, our Lord said, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Amen. God required two witnesses to find a man guilty, and he approved that two witnesses could prove a man innocent of the charges. King James has not one witness against him to come forth to declare him a sodomite, but I just read you from 10 witnesses that vouch for his good Christian character. Matthew chapter number 10, verses 16 through 18. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. You see, King James's testimony speaks highly of his moral character, but his testimony testifies against the immoral character of his detractors. Amen. Mark chapter 6, verse 11. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You see, Jesus sent his disciples forth with the message of salvation, but he told them that they would testify against those that rejected the word and the messengers of the word. I'm glad I believe in the King James Bible. I'm glad I'm holding true to the King James. I trust you will. Pray you will. And tune in this same time tomorrow. And may God bless you, is our prayer.